All right. Well, in the few minutes that we have left this morning, we want to come back to this series that we started a few weeks ago, and we only spent 2 weeks on it. It's called Four. Four Harrisburg is what we're calling it here. And the big idea overarching this series is this, that for far too long, the church has been known for what we are against, and that we should be known, rather, for what we are for. And so we've joined in on this Four movement, and we put our energies into being a church that is for Harrisburg. And I want to give credit to Jeff Henderson and his team there at Gwinnett Church in putting together this series. And as I've been out and about and seeing some of these car magnets on cars or the t-shirts saying For Harrisburg, it's just been encouraging, and I've loved seeing it. But I hope more than that, that it's been helpful, maybe in the littlest of ways, to create some common ground with people, create some conversations and connections, maybe just to be able to bring up and talk about what that is all about, as maybe some have had questions, especially with those who maybe have said no to Jesus, have said no to the church, have said no to what we believe, and maybe they don't even know exactly what we're about as Christians. And so this morning we want to come back to this idea of the word for. And what does for mean? What comes to mind whenever you think of the word for? Maybe some things that might come to mind is it means that you're in favor of something, that you're not against something, that you're supportive, that you're pro something, that you want to help someone win in regards to something. And for us this morning, and real briefly, one of the most important things that we should know and believe about the word for is this, that God is for you. God is for you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he doesn't want you to simply exist, that he wants you to live life to the fullest, that he created you to experience life in an exciting and a thrilling way? Through this past spring and through the year prior to that, we spent a lot of time in the Gospel of John. And the whole thing coming through in that, that John's wanting us to know and that Jesus wants us to know is that in Jesus is life, that Jesus came so that we might have life. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said this, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So here we are, and we like to laugh. We like to sing out loud. We like to look for adventure because something in us wants to enjoy being alive. That's why we don't want to miss out whenever there's something fun going on. Have you ever wondered, why do you like to have fun? Why do you even care? And I think whenever we think about those questions, like, it just reminds us that there's maybe some evidence that there is a God, even just in thinking about that. And just like a good father would want you to enjoy the good gifts that he gives you, so it is with God. He wants you to engage with life in a positive way, but we got to know that the reality is if God is for us, then there is this, that there is someone who is not for us. We got to consider that evil is real, that there are two forces in life. There is one that wants to kill all the potential that there is, and there is one that is for your potential. There is one that wants to empty your life of everything, and there is one that wants to fill your life with all good things and move you into a good direction. And that's why God is so persistent, and he wants us to not lose sight and to forget the story, and he wants us to know the story that he is for us. From the beginning of time, that he has had a plan for you to know him and experience living your life the way that he has for you. I want you to know that he is for you. And this morning as we sang that song over and over a couple times, it's just a reminder constantly that our God is for us. I'm reminded of in Psalm 139, starting at verse 13, where the psalmist is telling us that even from our very beginnings, he says this, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depth of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." Do you know that he's for you, that he loves you so much? This past week, Kristen and I, along with the rest of our family and friends and a whole bunch of other parents and their friends and family, were seated over at the Giant Center, and we were there, and for us getting to, and we were there for a reason, because there are all these people getting to graduate, all these young people, and the room was full of people who are for them. And whenever Anna came out for us, I'm sure Kristen was right there with me and seeing her in her cap and gown, walking across and then saying her name. And it was just like, you know, so, so precious. Such a meaningful and important thing for us. Because I was there whenever she was born. I was there and I held her, you know, whenever she was young. And through all those years, I was there for so many of the joys and even the struggles and all kinds of things, and walking right alongside her all the way, and to see her come to that point, what a joy, right? And our parents, and as parents, Chris and I want, Anna, we want you to know, we are for you. And every parent, that's us with our kids, right? We are for them. And just last night, getting together with some friends and getting to do that, that's what it's about. Just to look around, we are for you. And we all have that in our lives. And so for us as a church, our God is for us. He is for you. And so don't question that one bit. He loves you. But if you do, if you question that in any way for a moment, then remember this. And maybe you're here this morning, you don't know this. But hopefully you're getting to hear it through our time already together this morning. That he loves you so much that he sent Jesus to prove that he is for you. He showed up, John 3:16, he says that this is why he came. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He's not talking about someday in the future that you're going to have life, but he's saying right now, I want you to have life. That eternal life starts now. Not only does Jesus want you to feel more alive because you're following him, but he wants you to realize eternity starting now can be in your heart now. You can see the world. You can see God. You can see others. You can see yourselves from God's point of view. Jesus came to confront all the things that want to steal the potential, your potential to live. And he came to challenge the definition of religion. He came to put an eternal perspective in your heart that can radically affect how you experience love and life. We're not just living now, but we're living for eternity. And with that in view, it changes everything about how we live now whenever we understand that we are living for eternity. But not only does he want you to know that God is for you, that he sent Jesus to prove that he is for you, but know this, that God has surrounded you with people who are for you. He's put people all around you. He's designed us for relationship together, and that's why the idea of the church is such a big deal. As we read throughout God's word, the church is all over it. Paul is writing letters to the church. That's what a lot of the New Testament is. It is about the church and being encouraged in that. That's why it's his design. God's design was for his followers to represent that God is for people. And what a sad thing it is that so many don't see the value of the church. But what a blessing it is. We've already experienced that this morning as we've gathered together and we've come around and we've supported and prayed with each other. And we've heard stories and we've been encouraged as we've heard stories, just as Liz shared, about how God has shown up in our lives and he's shown his grace and his mercy and he's given life. And he's given us a purpose and a reason. And he surrounds us with people who are for you. They want you to win. They want you to thrive. They want you to live the way that God intended. And he's given us not just our own individual families where maybe we've got those people, maybe it's your parents, maybe it's your peers, maybe it's some other people that you think of, but you have your spiritual family that God has surrounded you with in the church. People who love you and who want to encourage you to love him more. That's what church membership is about. That's what we're talking about here. In the next few weeks, we get to have the joy of welcoming a few other people in. And I'm looking forward to how God is going to work. And just, we're going to see many more coming and joining in on the family. God is for you. He sent Jesus to prove it. He gives us a family, the church who is for you. But you got to know this, that God has created you to be for other people. God has created you to be for other people. It's in you to love others. The image of a good and generous God is a part of your soul's DNA. There is a tendency, for all of us to be maybe tend towards selfishness and greed. But whenever you say yes to serving and coming and being for others, to helping someone, to loving someone, I believe that there is something sparked in you, because that's what it is to be like Christ. Maybe it's loving and serving someone in your home. Maybe it's someone, a spouse, a friend, a coworker. Maybe it's in your own community, or maybe it's in a community that is outside of your own context, like our team that's headed down to Honduras in the next week. I believe there's something good that happens whenever we serve, because that's how God has created us. It's just more evidence that God is for you, God is for others, and that desire is in you to be connected, to be in a relationship, to belong, exists in everyone around you. And so God wants you to experience something that is bigger, much bigger than you ever dreamed. He wants you to understand that what happens to your life and what happens to your heart when you start living like you are for others. Matthew chapter 22. You know this passage. Pharisees had heard Jesus, and they're coming around him, and they have this question. They're not for him, and they want to stump him, and they want to catch him in saying something that is wrong. And so here we're told in Matthew chapter 22 that they come to him, and Matthew writes this: "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And this is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.'" Jesus is there, and what does he do? But he steps forward to their questions, and in essence, he says this: the greatest commandment is to love God with everything that you are. But there's another commandment here that is so intricately linked to this that you can't even separate it, really. And it is loving your neighbor, loving God and loving your neighbor, loving God and loving others, is it? And so for us this morning, just as we briefly and just as in these few moments have, what could it look like if we actually started acting like we love our neighbors? What does that look like? What does it mean to be for our neighbors in this community? What if every one of us in this church just started acting like we are for other churches, maybe? Let's throw that out there. What if our church decided we wanted other churches to win? What would that look like practically? What if we started acting like we are for families in our community? I believe we are. And these are just questions to spur us on and to get us to thinking more. Maybe there's some areas and ways in which we can do this a little bit better and keep on going further, because I know our tendency is not always that. What if we started caring about families that are hurting, even if they maybe don't come and aren't a part of this church? Maybe if they don't go to any church, how can we come alongside them and how can we be for them? What if we started acting like we are for our neighborhoods and our communities around us? Maybe even communities where people don't look like us. What would happen if say, the white community would come alongside and be for the black community? How would we build bridges? Or for whatever community, the Hispanic community, the Indian community, the Asian community. How would we show them we respect them and that we want them to win? As we talk about being for our neighbors in our neighborhood, I loved it the other week, and maybe you don't know it happened, so I want to make you aware, but just for us as a church family, here we are in this community and in this neighborhood at the corner of Devonshire and Devonshire Heights Roads, and we have this big project going on over here, and don't think that didn't disrupt this neighborhood. It had to, and it did, for sure. And so how can we, what we did, what a team went out from here, and we called them Pardon the Noise Bags, and 20-some of these bags were delivered to the neighbors right around us, just to go and say, we just wanted to let you know that we value you, we're for you, and what do we give them, Christopher? Was it some kind of baked good, a cup? Oh, earplugs. That's the plus, right? That's what. So And we gave him earplugs, and I think all the loud work's almost done outside. But we wanted to come and just be able to, and we had the opportunity to create connections and conversations. And as that team came back, what a joy it was to hear just of some of those conversations and getting the opportunity to let them know that we want to be a blessing to them. We want to see them come. We want to get to know and build a relationship. And so that's just something we are for our communities. And thinking that in your own neighborhoods, how can you do that? Do you even know your neighbors? How much do you get to interact with them? What if we started acting like we are for our community's leaders? If we started praying for our leaders here more often and seeing them as real people, not just as elected officials, not just to complain about what frustrates us, but to thank them for leading us. You know, going through this process, I'd never been to a township supervisor's meeting, and I went, and I know that's part of what the work is, but it wasn't like there was a lot of people in there saying thank you. And so how can we maybe say thank you and pray for them? What if we started acting like we are for our community's teachers and schools? What can we do to encourage the teachers who spend every day with the kids and teenagers in this community? You do the math, as a church, we are pretty limited. We got maybe 40 hours or so with kids in a year. But you think about it, do the math. The average teacher will have over 1,200 hours of influence with a kid. And if we want kids and teenagers in this community to win, we've got to be willing to help and come alongside our teachers who are spending the majority of the time with those with them. We want our teachers and our schools to win. And so here's the point on top of all this, and there's those questions are on the back of the bulletin, and I just want to ask you to consider and to think about that and to pray about that. What does this look like for you in your own life? And here's why we're talking about this as a church, because if there is one group of people in this community that should lead the charge to be for people, who should it be? It should be us, right? It should be us. Because we know the love and the grace of a God who has been for us, who's changed our lives. And we should be living a living demonstration and a light to a generation by being for others. If we don't do this, who will? And church, let's do it. Let that be the driving thing for us in all that we do. Let's, before those who are around us, let's go create connections, conversations, and let the Holy Spirit move and do what only He can do in the hearts of those who are around us, bringing glory to the Father. This is what He's called us to do. So let's bow our heads and let's pray.